So thanks for being here today, and my talk is a little different. So I'm going to ask you to sort of suspend your, it's not a survey, we didn't conduct research, it's really about the practical use of social media in programs and public education efforts and social marketing campaigns. So it was a great segue from your conversation, and really how do you apply it? If you build it, they will not come. You have to market it. So you need dollars, you need resources, you need people, you need ideas, you need content. And so what I'm going to be talking about is a specific program that we did for the Department of Defense. So it's a little different. It surrounds the military community and those that are coming back with traumatic brain injury and other psychological health problems and the stigma and obstacles to having those warriors seek treatment. So it was a tall order to develop this campaign. And what we realized is that social media had a great application here because the target audience was 18 to 24-year-olds. So I'm going to give you a little background on the campaign because I think it's important that you get the context. Then we'll talk a little bit about the social media tools that we used, how we track them, how much labor, time, intensity that it takes to do them. I'm going to show you some examples, give you some real-world stuff about social media, and I was curious in the room, you asked a bunch of questions, but how many people actually use social media in the programs that they are providing the public at this time? Great. So I hope that I teach you something different, or maybe you can teach me something different. So for those of you that are on Twitter, we are providing you tweetable moments, and please, somebody tweet something so that the guys that helped me with this presentation don't make fun of me when I go home. Or if I ever get home, because I'm not even sure that that's going to be a possibility at this point. So we did provide, you'll see the bird in a couple of places. It's the APHA hashtag 2012. So it would be great if somebody would tweet, and then they won't think I'm an old-fashioned boob. So as I said, the name of the campaign is Real Warriors, and it is sponsored by the Department of Defense, and it's a very long name. It's the Defense Centers of Excellence for Psychological Health and Traumatic Brain Injury. The program has been around for about 4 years, and at the time that we launched, we were about 5-6 years into the wars. We were coming home with more injuries than we had ever imagined, with new body armor and whatnot. We're sustaining greater injuries. There's more people coming home, and the invisible wounds of this war are very different. Well, they're the same, but there's many more of them, and they have hit a spotlight, and we needed to sort of combat that. So the campaign really wanted to raise the awareness about the resources that are available to combat stigma and to actually get help and treatment, to create an understanding around the obstacles, because really the stigma was so intense that if you didn't realize the obstacles, you would never get to the actual reaching out for help and getting treatment. And also creating awareness that resilience and early intervention could actually help in recovery. The campaign has a large marketing mix, like any other integrated campaign would have. So you can see that we have a big website over in the right-hand corner, and it's got a 24/7 call center attached to it. It has a live chat function. We focus on the suicide lifeline number, which is up and available 24/7 as well. All of the posters and materials after the focus group showed us that the services needed to have things that looked like them. And the focus group showed that the warriors wanted to see proof that if somebody came forward, they were going to still be promotable, that they were not going to lose face with their both their family and their units, and that they could have success either in the military or after they transitioned. So one of the biggest proof points in our focus groups were that they wanted this proof. So how are we going to get people to come forward and admit that they've been through treatment? How are we going to tell this story from, we couldn't handpick them because that wouldn't be legitimate. They had to actually volunteer to come and tell their story. So we have about 19 video profiles. We had our first Marine come forward, and after that, many people came forward. And we know that this particular technology, the videos, posting them on YouTube, which I'll get into when I talk about the tools, really does change the face of the campaign and really made it something that people could hang their hat on and not be worried about coming forward. I want to introduce Jeff Hall. Oh, where's the volume? We have no volume. So I'm going to click forward, and I'm going to tell you Jeff's story. Unless you want to, is there a way to, I'm not sure that I know how to do it either. And I might have to have it run. So Jeff was on his fourth deployment. When he came home, he was suicidal in his backyard with a gun in his mouth. His wife had noticed that there were many, many problems for the first 2 months that he had been back. He would not seek treatment. Finally, his commander came forward and said, you need to get help. Jeff became, I think, our second profilee, and then his wife also had PTSD. She was also in the military. So they are a husband and a wife that actually have profiles, and I'm very sorry that we went through all the trouble of trying to get this to work today, the PSA, and I encourage you to go onto the website and watch one of the profiles, I think. And now it's not going to let me go forward. Oh, my goodness. All right, there we go. So the campaign, because it's really the foundation of the campaign, is based on these profiles, on our Facebook page, our Twitter account. We have staff that work behind the scenes and post 3 or 4 times a day. We have to keep the Facebook content updated, you know, as often as possible. We draw most of our content from our website. So we have new articles posted every month that then become content that you can, you know, just continue to ground down until it gets to that 140 whatever characters it is that you can actually tweet. The website gets about 300 and I think it's about 400,000 unique visitors at this point, and we're in 183 countries. We have about 45,000 fans and followers. We've had about 20,000 views on YouTube. We've posted 105 articles, and I will tell you that the new content is what makes the social media part of the program sing, and without the content, you don't really get to move along your audience or have them come back for anything more. And what makes our program a little different is the engagement and the retweets and the reposts and the reuses, and also having all of the other web masters that we work with across the DoD. They become our messengers, and they're the ones that get us, you know, more users, more visitors as we go on. So one of the strategies that we've employed is getting to know the webmasters at our partner pages and at our sponsoring organization pages. And I don't know if people in the audience use that technique, but it certainly helps. The video profiles, there's about 19 public service announcements. They've been viewed 200 times in 177 countries. Those that are in war, in theater, cannot see YouTube. So the military started something called TroopTube, which was another social media outlet that we used, because they really can't get on the internet. They do have smartphones, so we did make a mobile website, and that was very helpful. And YouTube, once they come home, is very helpful, but while they're away, it's not. So how do we measure? Let me just go back and make sure that I've given you all those statistics. So again, it's hard to see the chart, but I'll give you some points here. So there's not one size fits all to a social media plan, but what I will say is it really does need to tie into your communications objectives if you're running a program. And yes, social media can hang on its own, but when it's fully integrated in a campaign, it is unbelievably powerful. I never really believed in the power of social media until I micro-targeted an audience that we didn't even know whether or not they would use some of the technologies that we were putting out there because of their certain circumstances and being in theater and being in different countries. We were really handicapped, but what we found out was we were actually ahead of the curve. The smartphones were the way to go. The mobile applications were very helpful, and YouTube, once they got home, was great, and TroopTube, once, you know, while they were still at war, helped us an awful lot. We also found out that when you're counting, you know, you have to quantify, because your clients, I mean, for us, without being able to measure these things, our clients are not going to continue to fund our programs. And we believe that you can't just quantify. You have to really understand sentiment and find out whether or not what's being said and done is having the positive effect that you need. So using tools like Sprout Social for Twitter, or, you know, it's a tracker that's $9 a month. I don't know if anybody uses any of the tools to track their social media out here. Does anybody use tools or buy? What's one that you use, do you know? So Radiant 6 is the top, I would say, for, you know, certainly all of the tools, but I don't know if you've done any specific ones for Twitter or some other accounts, which it's helpful to micro-target some of those. Bitly we use as well. I also think that monitoring social media sites is critical, because then you'll know. We thought that photographs would be great and that they would retweet them and follow them, and we found out that they actually like the history photographs of the old ships or things from the past, and that the current photographs were a little too in their face about where they were, and they actually liked the honoring of the military or of their service. So we put up, you know, it was like the 200th anniversary of something, and it was our biggest retweeting posting that we ever had. So once you start to figure out whether or not photographs are going to work, or testimonials are going to work, or there's quotable moments are going to work, those are the things that you want to track and follow if they're being moved along in your audience, because then you can do those again and again and again. So we've created an entire sort of celebration editorial content. So anything that hits a milestone in the military for any of the services we know is terribly important to our audience, and we can tie in a prevention message, add the suicide lifeline or whatever, you know, we might want to target them with. Some of the other ways that we measure, you said Radiant 6, and I would say that that's probably the industry leader at this point still. I think there's many other tools, and the free ones, you know, you'll get what you get. They're free, and I don't discount them, but I would also say that there's lots of things that you're not getting measured if you're using the free tools. So here are some of the other things that we track. As I said, we put the National Suicide Lifeline in pretty much everything that we do, and we are finding out that it is still the most popular retweeted, reused item. If you have a call to action, if you're tied to a 1-800 number, if there's a place for people to go, those are the things that keep people moving and talking, and it gives them something to pass on and send on. So we think that those things are very important in integrated campaigns. We also found out that our audience is awake very late at night and on the weekends, and that's when they're the loneliest, and that's when they start realizing they have issues. So we had to change up some of our messaging and some of our social media strategies, because we needed to be awake when they were awake, and we didn't need to be asleep when when they were awake. And when we started the program, we didn't have 24/7 messaging, and we didn't have the opportunity to engage them in the live chats. So it was very important to us to add all of those features as we got to know our audience better. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is still consistently, for this campaign, the most mentioned resource in all of our retweets and posts. And I keep going backwards instead of forwards. Someday I'll figure this out. We had the great luck of trying something new. I don't know if anybody's done crowdsourcing in the room. So if you haven't done it, crowdsourcing can be defined as soliciting input or feedback through communications channels to support innovation and improvement of a campaign or initiative. So you can just put something out to the world and have them respond to it. And it was very exciting. In March, we initiated a cutting-edge 10-week crowdsourcing task using Facebook and Twitter channels to solicit response to behavioral health-related questions. President Obama started this in 2009 with the Open Government Directive, and it empowered agencies to do crowdsourcing. So we took advantage of it and convinced our client that this would be a really good test site to try to see if social media could get that kind of mass appeal and response. And we were really happy because it was a qualitative sort of collection which we hadn't had before. So we got 14,000 likes and comments on our crowdsourcing comment, and we got 800 referrals in a very short period of time. It was one of our most successful activities. We also did a large Facebook advertising campaign. That cost a lot of money. It was about $8,000, but we changed the face of our fan base. It had been mostly women in the military, family members, wives, spouses, sisters, and moms. And after the Facebook advertising campaign, it was 78% male, and legitimate fans and followers. Legitimate as in they belonged to a military organization, they were married to somebody in the military. These were not my friends and family, which is how we started the campaign in the beginning. It's like, dear mom, could you please type in the word Facebook? Very fun. Let's see if I can go forward or backwards. So let's recap. So, you know, we know that in health communications, you do need to measure, you do need quantifiable numbers, but it's also a long-term continuum. We've been very lucky that this campaign has sustained itself 4 years. We didn't think it would see the light of day. Mental health and stigma were not conversations that the military was having when we launched this campaign, and we did not have support across the DOD. And now it's pretty much all anybody's talking about. So we've really come into our own, but we still have to, you know, fight for the dollars, the shrinking dollars. When you talk about clients not having access to the internet, our federal DOD clients can't even see our Facebook page from their desks. They have to go home or go on their mobile phone or leave their building to see what they're doing and what they're paying for. It's quite amazing. We have a lot of anecdotal evidence that what we're doing, what we are doing can be evaluated properly. The RAND Corporation did an evaluation on the Real Warriors campaign, and we're about to launch another full evaluation that will include all of our social media tactics. And in order to track your effectiveness, you know, we ask that you monitor your traffic and your sentiment, that you really look at your social media interactions. It's not just how many and how much, but it's what are they doing, what are they saying, and what are they sharing. And really what the engagement is from your partners. If your partners are not your number, you know, your top five referrals, then your partners aren't any good. Or you pick the wrong partners. Or you don't have a good deal with them. So I would, you know, we really look at our partners very strongly in that. And we know that in the end we are, you know, saving lives. We get phone calls all the time. I saw this guy and he changed my life and he saved me and I don't want to kill myself anymore. And I will tell you it is a stunning thing to sit at your desk and get these emails and these texts and these chats that people are really, through words and images, through a phone or, you know, on a computer, are coming forward and changing their lives and the lives of their families. So we're already launched mobile. I know it says what's next, but we do have the mobile site, and we encourage you to, you know, join our quest, look at our Facebook page, become a friend and a fan, even if you don't know anybody in the military. Today you know, might consider learning a little bit more about the plight of military families. Changed my life. I don't come from a military family. And we've given you information about how to find us, and I welcome your questions. Thank you.